folks, and welcome to another episode of Pod School. This time around, we're talking podcast strategy. So we're looking at how to make sure your podcast has a focus and how you can make sure you're getting return on investment. So let's get started. Hey, really glad to be here for another episode of Pod School. I hope you're all well out there. This time around, we're going to be looking at strategy, as I mentioned, which is really looking at how we aim to do our podcast, how we aim to deliver our podcast. And there's a lot of things that come with your strategy that help you to make sure you're not wasting your time, you're getting a return on your investment, and you're making sure that it's all worthwhile, essentially. So that's what we're going to go into. So why do you need a podcast strategy? Really, this isn't any different from any type of content strategy. So it's the same as for any content creation. Same as if you're blogging, same as if you're just creating content for a standard website. It's essentially to give yourself a focus. It's because podcasting is not a quick thing to do, particularly particularly compared to blogging or compared to creating content on a website. Well, it's arguable, to be fair. I would say that podcasting can be a little bit more time consuming to create the same amount of content. So I can write a post for my website in probably an hour or so, maybe a couple of hours. But to come up with a good quality podcast can maybe take a little bit longer than that. I think the rewards even are much better. So it's more worth doing it. But it means that you do have to be a bit more strategic. You have to make sure that everything you're putting out there is really worthwhile, is really hitting your targets, and is going to give you a return on investment. That's the important thing. That return on investment, it makes it worthwhile the time that you're putting into your podcasting efforts. So strategy basically leads to aims. So if we create a strategy, what we're doing is we're going to create some aims initially. And that allows evaluation. So that is what lets you see whether it's worth that time, whether you can find your return on investment. So having those aims lets you further down the line, 6 months in, see, have I made my aims? Have I met my aims? Are people buying my product? Are people doing the type of things I want them to do? And you can see how much of that is actually happening through the podcast, through tracking, that type of thing. That evaluation is the important part. The strategy lets you evaluate your efforts further down the line to make sure it's not a waste of time. It's really easy to create content that people aren't that bothered by. So the strategy also allows you to make sure that you're keeping on target. So it allows you to make sure that you're hitting the passions, the interests that people have around your topic. So you have your strategy, you have your content, you have the types of things you talk about. You make sure through that strategy that you're always on target, that you're always hitting those aims, that you're always meeting the sort of the needs and requirements of the people that are listening to your podcast to make sure that they keep listening. It keeps your podcast focused, essentially. People are really into certain topics. People are always quite sort of specific about their passions and their interests. And you keeping to that focus makes sure that they keep interested. Something just generally rambling, it's unlikely to inspire people on a regular basis if the topic keeps changing. If they're really interested in one aspect of your industry or one aspect of your topic, then if you keep talking about other things they're not that interested in, they're less likely to keep coming back. And that's another reason why a strategy is really, really valuable. So really, to summarize that, what we're looking at is aims. We're looking at evaluation, see how well you're doing, and we're looking at focus to keep yourself on target, keep yourself going with your podcast and meeting the needs of your listeners. Okay, so let's look at them in order. Podcast aims are probably the first thing to look at. So what is it that you actually want your podcast to achieve? This determines what you want out of your podcast, what it's going to give to you, what makes it worthwhile to you to do it, to actually spend all the time it takes to record. So two of the biggest industries or sectors that I work with, two of the biggest sectors in the world, to be fair, are education and business. So they are the two that I help with podcasting mostly. Now, education tends to have pretty simple podcast aims. Their aim is to help their students. But there are other things as well. So it might be that you're an educator out there that wants to help maybe increase the profile of your course. Maybe that you want to sell more places on your course. So actually some of the business focused aims might be relevant to you as well. But this next section might not be so relevant to you if you are an educator listening to this podcast. This is more around the business side of things. If you're an educator, obviously your aims are to teach, to educate. And in fact, that can help in a business as well. But for the next little bit, we're going to talk about really how you will make money out of a podcast, how you will, whether it's not directly, might not be directly, you might not make money actually from the podcast itself, but it might, your aims that come from that podcast might lead to making more income or promoting things in future. So the first one, most common, is just to drive visitors to your website. So your aim might be actually just to create your podcast, to create more traffic on your website, to get people onto your website, to read your content, to have a look through your offerings. This can be, if you have a website that survives basically just on advertising and affiliate income, then you're all about the traffic. So that's what you want. You want more people onto your website, and a podcast could well help you out with that. Also, if you sell products or if you have consultancy, you might have a range of products and therefore actually you don't really want to talk about them on the website. You want to get people, on the podcast, I should say, you want to get them onto the website so that they can have a proper look through what you offer, whether it's consultancy products, anything. You want to get them on there, signed up to things, and then start pushing them down your sales funnel in that way. So your primary aim might be just to get them straight onto your website, not talk about the sales on the podcast. I mean, that's another reason why you might want to do that, is that you want to create your podcast as really a value-added thing. You want to just teach people, you want to give them information, you want to give them value to make them great fans. And as a side effect, they might go and visit your home on the web, which is your website. And on the website, you can then sell them your products there. So it means that you don't have to do much selling on the podcast, which can be quite nice because it also feels a little bit sleazy to sell, even though really that's what it all comes down to. Because unless you're just doing a hobby podcast, which is a great thing in itself, you might be doing it for the passion, for the fun of talking about things. But unless you're doing that kind of podcast, really, it's about the return on investment. And to get that, you need to sell something or to monetize it in some way. So the other thing that you can do, another podcast aim might be to promote a product. So you could sell directly on the podcast. You could include your own adverts, so you could talk about your products through adverts, or you could just talk about them, mention them during other segments on the podcast. And it could be your own products or someone else's. So you can sell your own products directly, or you can actually do affiliate deals with other people. So if you know that there are other people in your industry that are selling good products, you've used them, you can sort of happily recommend them, then it might be that you can sell them and get commissions by either sort of giving them a special link that gives you that tells the person that you sent them there, or something similar to that. So it doesn't have to be your own product that you're promoting. Next, you can actually sell the podcast as a product. So if you don't have your own physical or information products, then you could actually sell the podcast. So you obviously know that you can sell things like books, you can sell information. Your podcast has as much information or as valuable information as a book, so you could sell your podcast in the same way. There are a few different ways of doing that. You can always sell back episodes. So if you've got 50 episodes, once you're up to a decent figure, you might only make the most recent 20 available on iTunes. And if they want to get the back catalogue, then they have to buy it from your website. Or you can sell them packaged up as an audiobook. I've seen people create really good audiobooks through a good series of podcast episodes. Or, of course, you can just sell access to every episode. Maybe somebody needs to actually pay money to access every single episode. Although really, that's you need a pretty established audience for that. So it's pretty difficult to do that unless you're already pretty high up in your industry. Another way that people do it is that they sell special episodes. So you've got your free strand, you've got your free podcast, but you do release paid episodes as well, which add maybe some extra value or maybe some premium content, that type of thing. So it could either be more of the same or it could be better. Although if you do make it better episodes, then that does mean you're kind of devaluing your free ones, which might not make them so attractive. So probably better to talk about them as premium or just extra value. So another aim could be to sell consultancy. So this is a big one for podcasting because, and in fact, I'm going to go into this in the next one. Podcasting is great for becoming a thought leader, so building your reputation. So if you talk about things on your podcast, you talk about your topic, your industry, it convinces people that you know what you're doing. It also tells people a bit about your personality. And that's important in consultancy because you need to be able to work with somebody quite closely to use them as a consultant. So it does both things. It establishes your credibility, establishes your expertise, and it also means that people get to know you a little bit and therefore they might be more likely to want to work with you. They might like you and therefore want to get you in to work with you. You can encourage people through the podcast to get in touch after talking about information or topics. So you might talk about something, you give away quite a lot of good material, but then you encourage them to get in touch for a one-to-one. So then you tailor that material to their situation. So that's how you kind of get around the giving away your information, but then also charging for it on top of that. Because you're tailoring the stuff. You're giving away general information on your podcast and probably a little bit of the sort of lower to medium level stuff as well. But then if they get in touch, you tell them that you're going to tailor it to them. You're going to make sure that it all applies directly to their situation, their context. And there might be some more valuable tricks that you can teach them as well in that case. Now, I've also mentioned it, but another aim is the thought leader thing. So that can lead not just to consultancy, though. So if you build your reputation as a thought leader in a sector, it can also lead to things like speaking gigs. So if you want to be doing a bit more speaking, you want to be getting up in front of audiences, then running a podcast is actually a really good way of doing that. Once your podcast gets known, once you're known as a good speaker on that podcast and knowing about an industry, that can get you invites to events. It can also just get you, even if it's not speaking you want to get involved in, it can get you involved in events on a committee type basis. So if you want to just get involved and get to know more people, it can really help you get contacts through that. If you go along to events and sort of help to organize them through your thought leading situation. Also, being a thought leader is more likely to get you a book deal. So if your ambition in life is to get a book out there, then that's one way to do it. Become a thought leader through your podcast. Or it can help you make more powerful contacts just through higher reputation. So people might listen, people in your industry, your peers might listen to the podcast, get in touch and forge friendships or relationships, which then might, you know, help you both benefit from that in future, whether it's referred clients or whether it's joint deals, that type of thing. Finally, one that probably isn't that relevant for most people who are running their own business, but might be if you're just thinking about starting a hobby podcast, is to sell advertising. So you can always get a sponsor for the podcast. So a classic example of this is the gaming niche. So there's tons and tons of podcasts out there for games, whether it's video games, role-playing games, board games, that type of thing. And they all come with sponsorship because people talk about it as a passion initially. So they just want to talk about games initially, but then there's loads of games companies out there want to sell their wares, sell their packaging products, that type of thing. So there's lots of sponsorship available in that industry. And it's the same with most industries. There's always somebody that will want to sell advertising if you've got a decent listenership. So that's another way to make money of a podcast, and that might be one of your podcasting aims. Okay, so that covers the main set of podcasting aims, particularly for business. There are others out there, but they're the sort of the most common ones. But it'd be interesting to hear if you have different aims, actually. If you come up with some different aims after listening to this podcast, once you go to create your strategy, then send them in. It'd be great to hear. So if you send it in to Colin@thepodcasthost.com, then it'd be great to feed that back on a future episode. And also just for my own feedback, just to hear how you're using podcasts or what your aim is in your podcast. So the next thing to move on to, once you have your aims, this generally leads to who you're targeting. So the next part of your strategy is, who is it that you're going to be targeting with your podcast? So this really comes down to who your ideal audience members are. Who are the ones that are going to give you a return on investment? What you want to do here is the old design technique of creating personas. So you're going to create personas for a few different people who are your ideal audience members. It's great to flesh these out as well. Actually give them real names and backgrounds so that you get to know them. The point of a persona is that it's somebody that you can really picture. So you have these two or three or four ideal people that you're selling to, or you're targeting, or you're podcasting to, and it keeps you on target. It makes sure that you know exactly who you're talking to in each episode. It makes sure that your personality is always right. It makes sure your message is always right. And that's part of the strategy that we talked about earlier. It's that focus. And personas are really good for doing that. They're really good for making sure that you're always on target and talking to the right person. Because basically, if you can imagine a persona, then there are real people out there like that, which means that if you talk to those personas, you end up talking to those real people, and they engage with you so much more because of that, because they feel like you're talking to you, because you're talking to their personalities, to their interests, to what they're interested in. So how do you create these personas? The main thing to think about are that these are the listeners that will actually fulfill your aims. So we're just talking about aims. So the aims are the key thing. What listeners, what people out there in the world can you imagine will actually action your aims? So your common website visitors are a good place to start. If one of your aims were to sell a product or consultancy, that type of thing, who currently buys your products or your consultancy? Who is it that does that? What is your average person? Do you have a target customer already? You might already have personas if you run a business like that. So you might have people that you sell to. If you don't, then think about the type of people that buy from you. Think about the people that come back again and again, the type of repeat customers that you get. They're your ideal audience members, those people that keep coming back and buying your products, your consultancy. They're the ones that are actually giving you money for your expertise. If your aim is to build a reputation as a thought leader or just to make connections with others in your industry, then think about the type of people that you want to reach there. Who is it that's running these events that you want to get involved in? Who are the people that are interested in attending these events? Because if you're targeting the type of people that go to these events, then the people that run these events will be really interested in what you have to say. So actually, it can be a two-way street there, or a two-level system there, because you might be targeting really primarily the people that run these events, the people that create books in your industry, the powerful contacts, but really, to get them interested, you need to have a big audience of the people that listen to them or attend their events or read their books. So it might be that you're targeting a kind of a secondary level of people that are your ideal customer to get to your primary customer. Otherwise, if your target is advertising or sponsorship, then really you're targeting pure listener numbers. This means you need to define, you know, who'd be most passionate about listening to your content. So you need to think about who's the person that's really, really into that. Who's the person that's going to come back again and again, just lap up the type of stuff that you're putting out there. They're the ones that become regular listeners and then refer you to others. And it's that referring that you're really looking for. That's the whole passionate fans thing. You want to create passionate fans. And for that, really, you just need to give them value. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for value and interesting content. Okay, so once you've got your primary targets, you can also move on to secondary targets. This isn't quite so important, but in some industries, it actually is very valuable to think about this. So these are listeners that might not directly buy from you. They might not even fulfill any of your aims really directly, but they might help you grow your listeners, or they might help you fulfill your aims in a roundabout way by perhaps attracting more primary targets. So in some cases, this can be colleagues, for example. So if you work in an industry, it can be people that you work with on a day-to-day basis. Or it can be those working in a related industry. So it could be an industry that you deal with all the time, something that sells something related to you or teaches something related to your subject. And in others, it can actually be your competition. So it might be people that are actually in competition with you directly. To give you an example, that was a bit vague. So if you're a dentist, and dental podcasts do exist, by the way, people podcasting about dental treatment. So there's one particular example of a dentist who puts out a regular podcast just talking about, for example, an episode on a root canal. What a root canal is, why you might want to get it, how to find somebody that does it well, what are the options in getting it. So you're a You're a dentist podcasting about dental treatments. So your primary target are most likely those looking for root canals. So it's your customers, it's people with teeth. So you've got quite a wide general audience. So they're the primary targets. They're your customers. They're the ones that are going to come in and actually pay you to perform the type of things that you do on a day-to-day basis. But then you've got lots of secondary targets that can help you here because, for example, an orthodontist. So they're somebody that works in the dental industry. They don't do dental treatment like you do, so they're not competition, but they might refer customers to podcasts on dental treatment because that customer might have been talking about the fact they've got a sore tooth or they want to get teeth whitening or something like that. So that orthodontist might be interested in the dental industry, listen to your podcast, learn more about things like root canals, teeth whitening, that kind of thing, and then refer their customers to your podcast for more information about those things. And those customers then become your listeners and possibly your customers in future. So that would be a related industry. So that's somebody that works in a similar industry, but they're not really direct competition. But then again, as a dental podcaster, you could have other dentists listening to you. They might want to keep up with news, new products. If you're putting out valuable information about new dental treatments that are on the market or new sort of appliances, new products, that type of thing, it might be that other dentists are interested in learning about it. It also, if you're in an industry, you tend to be kind of passionate about it, and therefore you want to just listen to things. So it might be that even though you know fine how to do a root canal, you know most about it, that you're still interested in listening to somebody else talk about it, maybe their views on how it's done, or different tips and tricks type of thing. So it could be that other dentists will listen to this podcast, they're interested in your views. Even though they count as competition, they might refer customers to some of your podcasts because they might think that it's valuable information and the podcast would benefit from, their customers would benefit from it. So it can be that competition can help each other out, even though you are technically competing. Another benefit of these type of secondary contacts is that they can often offer great feedback on your show. So they know more about a lot more about the topic, obviously. So they can give you feedback on what's working, what isn't, or they can suggest topics that might be really good in future. Or even better, they might be an expert in a particular topic and come on and talk about it to you. A great way to get content for your podcast and even add a bit more engagement because it's more voices, more variety, is to get somebody on for an interview. So these secondary targets, if they get to know you, they'll be much more willing to come on your podcast and chat to you and add loads of really great value to your podcast. So that's your primary and your secondary targets. So you hopefully now, once you've finished thinking about this, you now have a set of personas, a set of primary targets, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, and then maybe a few secondary targets as well. So now you know who you're talking to. You know who it is that you're actually speaking directly to in each and every episode, and that really helps you keep on target. But just to add to that targeting, now we go on and really define our podcast. So defining your podcast means setting a few different things that that help you to sell the podcast really and help you keep even more on target. So the first one is, always that I think about is, what is your focus? Now this might seem a bit obvious, so you know what you're going to be talking about. So that aforementioned dentist, he's talking about dentistry. But actually, you might want to be more specific than that. You might not want to talk about everything about dentistry. You might want to talk about private treatment. So what are the benefits of doing private treatment? What are all the different private treatments you can get? That type of thing. And that makes him more attractive to a certain audience. So that makes him even more attractive to those that are thinking about private treatment. So the main thing about focus is that I think don't be afraid to be specific. The more specific you are, obviously the smaller your target audience becomes, but it also makes you much more attractive to that target audience. If you're a big generalist, you can talk about loads of different topics. You can include loads of things in your podcast and you can basically target millions of people around the world. But it does make your podcast less sellable, less attractive, because if I'm interested in, say, going back to the games industry, that was something that is a huge industry. So you get board games, you get computer games, you get role-playing games, you get all sorts of different types of games. So you do get podcasts that are about games in general. They sell games, they sell their own services around games. But if you're interested in just board games, then it's unlikely that you'll listen to a general gaming podcast, because they're only going to talk about board games on every few episodes. There'll be an episode about role-playing games, there'll be an episode about video games, there'll be an episode about all sorts of other games, and they'll only get around to talking about board games every 4 or 5 episodes. So as a real board game fan, if that's all you're into, if that's really what you're into, you're not going to listen to that podcast. You're going to look for the board gaming podcasts, and you're going to become a passionate fan of those board gaming podcasts because they talk about your passion. They talk only about your passion. They're really into that because that's their focus. They've obviously chosen to talk about board games because that's what their passion is as well. So getting specific does cut down your target audience, but it makes it much more likely that people will listen to you, become really rabid fans of your podcast, and listen to you on a regular basis. So you've got your focus. That's the first thing to nail down about your podcast. Next is your format. Now, I mention this slightly lightly because you don't need to be totally rigid about this. You can change your format each week, but it is good to give people what they expect. So if someone expects you to go through like an introduction where you talk about what you've done in the past week, maybe you talk about news then next, then maybe you always have a kind of a main feature and then you have a couple of follow-up things, then people know to expect that and they enjoy that. And if there's parts of it that they like, they know they can skip skip straight to that. If the parts they don't like, they know they can skip over that. So it is nice to have a format that you stick to and always do that format. It actually creates a bit more familiarity as well, which is good. So if people are more familiar with format, it lets them get to know your podcast, which creates more engagement and it's more likely to lead to better fans, which then obviously refer your podcast to others. So that structure is really quite it's a valuable thing to put in there and it's a valuable thing to stick to. But then again, don't feel that you can't have a special episode every now and again, which is completely different and offers a listener something a little bit different. All you need to do is say at the start of that podcast what you're doing. So say, this is a bit different this week. We're going to do this, that. We'll be back to our normal format next week. And it gives people the opportunity to listen if they want to, or to even skip it out if they don't. If they're not into that type of format, they can skip it out. But that format, it gives you that focus. It also, do you know what? It helps you to create podcasts on a regular basis because you know what you're doing. You know that you're doing this, that, and that, and you can collect material for the news. You can collect material for the follow-up section, and it makes everything a bit more smooth and it helps keep you on a regular schedule. So the last of our definitions is, and I think this is quite important, is how are you going to sell? So whatever it is you're selling. Now, I mentioned I work with education, and I do believe that even educational podcasts are selling themselves. So they're selling either the information they're teaching, or they're selling the course itself to trying to get the students more engaged and to come back to your virtual learning environment, to get involved in the discussion forums on there. So whatever it is you're selling, whether it's actually a product, whether it's a consultancy, whether it's a conceptual thing such as participation in a course, you need to decide how you're going to do that and how hard you're going to do it. So there's various levels of doing this. I mean, some people can be quite blatant about their sales. So if you have a product you're going to sell, you can create an advert, which is 30 seconds, a minute long. And every single episode, you play that up front. So people hear your advert, they hear the products you're offering, hear it at the end as well. It's totally up front. It's kind of segregated out. It's quite maybe a hard sell, but it's expected and you're honest about that. If you say that, this is why I'm doing the podcast, but I'm going to give you tons of value, but I'd love it if you did go and buy my book, for example, after this. You can be obvious about it. It is possible to make it, well, it's more than possible to make a successful podcast that is doing quite a hard sell on every episode. As long as you're kind of regular about it, you're honest about it, people will be quite happy about that. They're fine that you're honest and transparent. You can do a kind of middle of the road by not putting an advert exactly, but just talk about your offerings for a few minutes at the end of the podcast. So you just give them all the value. You don't mention any kind of sales at all in the first half hour. And in the last few minutes, just talk about what you're offering right now, what products you've got, and say, if you found this of value, I'd really appreciate it if you go over and check out my products, buy something if it's of interest. That's a kind of lower level sell. And it means that people can skip it out if they want because it's at the end. And you're saying that it's a kind of a give and take. You do the podcast because you enjoy it, you like giving value, but you do have things that people can buy if they want to. Another way of doing that is actually just to mention things subtly during the show. So you're talking about podcast, you're talking about topics around your industry anyway, and you can mention if you're talking about something that, you know, you have a book that that gives you a bit more help about this. So, you know, go and check it out here if you want to, by the way. You know, just as you're talking through other things, you can mention your products just subtly as you go along, and that can encourage people to go and do it. So that might be that you're more comfortable doing it in that way. That's even lower level, really quite a subtle sell. And the last way is that people don't sell at all on their podcast. It might be that they don't sell anything apart from directing people to their website. So you just say, I'd love it if you go and check out my website at the end. And I suppose in a way that's you selling your website, which then sells your products. But that's probably the most subtle. You don't mention any products or any costs. You just say, go and have a look for more information on my website. And that's the most subtle way, really. But I think the important thing is to decide how you're going to do it. Because if you create a podcast that's, say, 20 episodes in, that's been really a low-level sell, you're just directing people to the website, but then suddenly you start sticking adverts in really blatant about what you're selling, it can really turn people off. It could turn your fans against you. Whereas if you're transparent about that up front, about what the podcast is, what its aim is for you, what you're hoping to get out of it, then that can be, because you're being honest, people value that and they like you a bit more for it. That's not to say that you can't change your approach as you go along. Just don't do it from the sort of really soft sell to the really hard sell all at once. You can just start to include a few more things as you go. Okay, and that about covers it. So that's how we create a strategy for our podcast. So I hope that helped. And what I'd recommend now is you go away and just actually think about that. Go through these questions, try and define all of those, create your personas. Set your aims, actually write down sort of primary and secondary aims for your podcast, and then you can decide how you're going to go about achieving that, how you're going to go about evaluating it. So I hope that was helpful. Again, always, thanks for listening. Give me some feedback, colin@thepodcasthost.com, or go on to thepodcasthost.com and find the Pod School episodes there. They're on the front page, and you can put a comment on the show notes. So thanks for listening, and talk to you soon.